Over the past few weeks, as we have been looking together at prayer and what the scriptures have to say to us about praying, I hope that one thing that has come through really clearly is that true prayer comes from the heart. It is the pouring out of our hearts to the Lord. Far more important than being able to find the right eloquent words. The Lord is looking to our hearts when we pray, what we believe, looking for our faith in Him, that we can unburden ourselves to Him. True prayer is to bring our desires to God, our hopes and our worries, our griefs, and it must come from the heart, even when we can't find the right words. It's a reminder to us that to really pray, we need that gift of a new heart that only the Holy Spirit gives. To be a Christian is a supernatural miracle. It's something much more than just believing certain things and living a certain way. It is to receive this miracle of the grace of God that the Holy Spirit deep within changes you and gives you a new heart that loves God and would do His will. And it's with that new heart that we can pray to God. We began, if you remember, looking at this series on prayer, at the words of Romans 8, verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings too deep for words." And so we have this wonderful promise that we're looking at each week, that although prayer is difficult, the Holy Spirit is with the Christian to help us, to help you. And He stirs up our hearts. He moves our hearts so that we're strengthened to groan to God, to cry out to God, and especially when we're suffering. And we can look for that grace of the Holy Spirit to help us pray. Well, over the next few weeks, what I'd like to do is look at several scriptures that show us that this, in fact, is how the Lord Jesus Himself prayed. When He was here on earth as in the role of our mediator and savior, this is how He prayed. That in the power of the Holy Spirit, He even groaned and cried out to God from the heart in His prayers. And He brought His griefs and His sorrows to God the Father in prayer. And my hope is that as we're going to look at the example of the Lord Himself and how He prayed, that's going to help us in our prayers. So if you come with me to John and chapter 11, this scripture records for us one of the most spectacular miracles of the Lord, one of the greatest. His beloved friend, a disciple, Lazarus, has died. And with a command, "Take away the stone. Lazarus, come out." He raises Lazarus from the dead. And it was an amazing sign to show that the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's revealed to us in this miracle as the one who has the power and the authority to really save us from death. He reigns over death. He has the power to give life out of death. He's the hope of the world. And this sign is the promise of the gospel. This is what God is offering to us in the gospel, so that we can have hope when we come to die. We can know that this Lord, this resurrection and the life Lord, He can save us if we will repent and trust in Him. So this is this wondrous miracle. But what I want to draw your attention to is the scriptures tell us how the Lord Himself prayed at this time. And it says that He groaned twice, and that He cried out in His distress. If you notice, the Lord comes to Bethany, the town of the dead man and his family. He meets Martha, He meets Mary. And then when he sees them and their grief and how they are mourning, he's deeply moved. You know, our Lord is a man of has human emotions just like us. And in verse 33, he comes and Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And he loved them so much. He mourned for Lazarus and he weeps openly. The Lord's loving heart is seen in these tears. Then verse 38, Jesus again, groaning in himself, comes to the tomb. And he prays. And he calls on the Father to show his glory, to work through him to raise Lazarus, so that the people will know he has truly come from God. Should you see? This is how the Lord himself, in this moment of deep distress, this is how he prays. He's faced with this suffering, and he's groaning to God in prayer. Those words that we've been following in this series. He groaned in the spirit, it says. Did you notice that? Not in his spirit, but in the spirit. It's the same words we've been seeing over and over again in the scriptures. He's moved and he's being helped by the Holy Spirit. In his grief, he's praying in the power and strength of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working in him to pray to God the Father. So what do we learn as we look at the Lord's Prayer? What do we learn from his example? Well, I want to try and sum it up this way. We should seek to pray with tears in our eyes and hope in our heart. We should pray with tears in our eyes and hope in our heart. That's how the Lord prays. There's sympathy, but there's also great confidence in God. There's compassion, but there's great faith in God. We should pray with tears in our eyes and faith in our hearts. And so the first part of that is, if you look with me at the Lord's example, we should be praying with tears in our eyes. We should seek to pray with a heartfelt compassion and sympathy for others. Prayers from the heart. I mean, in this case, it's obviously the Lord knew Lazarus and his sisters personally, and they're very dear to him. They're very close to him as disciples. And so the Lord himself is grieving. Just as I hope, a helpful side thought, I think if we're honest, most of us find grief very hard. We don't know how to grieve, what to do, how to express it when there's a deep sadness or even when we lose someone. We don't know how to do it in a godly way. We can bottle up our grief. Hide it. We don't like to expose when we're feeling weak. Or you can try and deny it. Oh, it's no big deal. These things happen and we just try to keep going. And all of it's a way of trying to cope. But our Lord shows us here very helpfully. It's right to grieve. It's right to mourn, brothers and sisters, when there's deep pain and deep loss. And death is unnatural. It's wrong. It's an evil. It wasn't there when God created the world. We were made in his image to be his sons and daughters. And death has come into the world because of sin. And it's right. Even though as Christians, we know that Christian saints go to be with the Lord and we're comforted. It's still right to mourn and to express the sadness and sorrow that there is this evil in the world. We see it in the Lord himself. And when you're grieving, it can be particularly hard to pray, can't it? And then sometimes, you know, you then beat yourself up with your guilty conscience. Shouldn't I be handling this better as a Christian and just striding through this and praying no problems? But the truth is in our human weakness, it's in those moments it's hardest to pray. But as we see in the Lord himself, this is when the Holy Spirit is there to help us. and comfort us and strengthen us. And one of the greater points that I want to draw out of this to you is, it is incredibly comforting to know that the Lord Jesus has shared in grief with us. If you take just a step back and look at the big picture here, the big truth of what's happening here, isn't it just amazing that this is Jesus, the Son of God, and he knows what it feels like to mourn and be this low? The Lord Jesus knows what it's like to face the worst thing in this world, the death of a loved one. And you see in his tears that the scripture has made this point of recording for us. You see his sympathy and his compassion. You see his love for us. It's that sympathy and compassion in his heart, the Spirit is stirring up in him, that's filling him and helping him to pray. And this actually really brings us to the very heart of the gospel. That this is why the Son of God has come into the world. It was to enter into our suffering and our need and to identify with us so completely, even to the point of bearing our sins for us. He's come to be so one with us, to fully share in all our burdens, all our griefs, and even the burden of sin. He's come to mourn for death with us, alongside us, but also even to die with us and for us. And his tears in this moment are just the most sweet and powerful manifestation, revelation of the love that God has for us. He is the invisible God made visible and revealing himself to the world. He's the most holy Son of God, one with the Father and the Spirit. And yet here he is now in this humble position. He's here as a man to be tempted, to be tried, to grieve, to sympathize with us. He's joined his heart to ours. He is a faithful and sympathetic high priest. This is your Savior. This is the one you may come to. The Lord of heaven, the most exalted King of all creation, he has a heart that has felt the same pains and griefs that you and I do. And so when you do cry out to God in these moments, this is the loving and merciful Lord that you're coming to. Isn't that just the most heartwarming, comforting thought? And then specifically, then, what does that tell us? How does it help us about prayer? Well, the Lord's showing us that we should weep with those who weep. To sympathize, to have compassion, to enter into the grief of others. And that spirit or that sense of compassion and sympathy is a really important part of prayer. You ever thought about that? This heart, when you come to pray, it's really important when you pray. Now, if you've been in a prayer meeting, you've been praying with someone else, you know it, don't you? When someone praying really has that feeling and they've entered into it, and it gives a power to their prayer, doesn't it? It gives a warmth and a tenderness to it. When someone's heart is really in it and entering into somebody else's need, When you experience that in a prayer meeting, there's this sense of fellowship and of being one accord, as we looked at like last week. You can hear it, and then you find your own heart joining in. You say, "Amen, amen." There's a real heartfelt sense to it, and you're entering into that prayer in sympathy together. That's something we should be seeking and longing for. Again, this sympathy of the heart, this is the gracious work of the Spirit. Throughout this series, when we're speaking about him moving us to groan in prayer, this is a large part of what the scriptures mean. He's transforming us. We're all so selfish and hearts can be so hard and indifferent to others and even when they're in need. And it's the Holy Spirit who melts our hearts, who so fills us with the love of God. He grows in us an ever deeper sympathy for others. We're talking here not just about something you can fake or that you just naturally work up. But there's a long-term consistent change in a Christian. It's a gracious sign of the Spirit's presence. And that over time there's this cultivating, growing sense of you're thinking more and more of others, have a heart more and more for others. And you know it and you feel it when it's there in prayer. That's what you see in the Lord. And the most wonderful, fullest example of it. Do you know what I mean? Do you know the kind of spirit I'm describing in prayer? Have you known it? Have you felt it? Well, may the Holy Spirit, when we pray, give us these kinds of sympathetic, tender hearts like the Lord's. True prayer comes from the heart. So that is the first thing. We should seek to pray with tears in our eyes. But then the second thing the Lord also shows us or teaches us about prayer is to pray with hope in God. We should pray with faith in our hearts. To pray believing all things are possible for God. We do not pray just to lament, just to sympathize. But we should pray with real hope the Lord is going to act. That the Lord will save, that the Lord will help. And we should pray with a confidence that he hears and he answers. Because that's the other striking thing when you look at the Lord's prayer here. His great faith and confidence in God. Look at his words in verses 41 to 42. This particular note of confidence. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you hear his absolute confidence and trust that the Lord has in God the Father? This confidence that his prayers are heard. Now, the real point I want to make to you, brothers and sisters, is the good news is in the gospel, we are told to have the same confidence. To have the same confidence as Christians. The same trust, the same hope. That when we pray, we are heard. Because the good news is not just that the Lord Jesus has come to us to share in our suffering and need. He's come to us to share his grace and his glory with us. And the privilege and blessing that he has of access to God, he shares with us. And of course, he calls God Father. Now, of course, there is a unique meaning to this that's true only of him, the Lord Jesus. He can say that as the only begotten Son of God. Eternally, he is God the Son, with God the Father and God the Spirit. But there is a second sense, which is a man. As the perfect man, he's come as our mediator. He also, as a man, calls God Father. He's the head of the human race. He's the one appointed as the Savior. And he has a special relationship where God is his Father. And God accepts him and loves him and blesses him and has chosen him. And that's true of him as a man. And as a son to his Father, as a man, he comes directly to God. And knows God loves him and hears him. It's in that second sense that's the blessing he shares with us. In him, we become sons and daughters of God. Do you believe that? Do you understand the greatness of that? In Christ, you are even now today a son and daughter of God. Once you were a stranger. You were an exile to God before you were saved. But now, brought near, justified, sanctified, adopted. And the Lord is telling us to have that. He's encouraging us to call God our Father, to know that He hears us, He cares for us. And that's the spirit in which we should pray. As children, confident that He's a Father who loves them. If there's one thing that is more important than anything else about prayer, it's to know as a Christian, this is your relationship and your position. This is perhaps the most important thing to pray as a Christian. You've got to know what you have with God. You are not coming before God as an enemy. You are not coming to an unknown God. You are coming to your loving Father through Jesus Christ. And to know that, to have the peace of that, the sense of that, the confidence of that in your heart is essential to pray. To have that kind of confidence. And again, what do the scriptures tell us? It's the Holy Spirit who creates that sense of confidence in our hearts. We can all be up and down with that confidence sometimes as Christians. But again, over time, there should be a consistent growth in a Christian. The Holy Spirit working into your heart, a real settled peace and assurance that this is so. And that's what He works into us. Christian, pray to your Father. But then the Lord also says, I thank you that you have heard me. So He's thinking back to the prayers He's already prayed, the miracles He's already done. And again, that can help us too. We can look back. I'm sure all of us can testify to answered prayers in our own lives or in the history of the church. And again, that should give us confidence and hope. God answers prayer. Just think of all the examples in Scripture of the most desperate situations where God's people pray and God does amazing things. For me, I keep coming back to Hezekiah when the Assyrians are at the very gates of Jerusalem and there are vast armies surrounding them and they're mocking the people of God and saying, oh, you're done for. Nobody's going to save you. And Hezekiah just takes the scroll that's got all their threats and he just puts it before God and he prays. And what happens? In a day, the Lord strikes down the army. God hears. We can look back at all of these examples. They're not just there as distant history. They're there to encourage us Christians. But then the Lord also says, so boldly, He says that God always hears him. Again, this is because He is the sinless, righteous one. God always hears him, His beloved Son. Not only because He's the Son of God, but because He's the perfect man. He's the one who from His heart, all His life, has kept all God's commandments perfectly. Who always does what pleases God. And so God is well pleased with him. Is delighted in him and will always answer his prayers. And again, the astonishing thing is that Christian, in the gospel, that's what's given to you. When you give yourself to Christ, he gives you himself. He gives you his righteousness. That perfect righteousness, this perfect life, that favor that he gives him with God, is counted as being yours. Credited to your bankrupt account. Oh, the scriptures sometimes picture it like it's like you're covered with pure white, brilliant, spotless white robes that covers and hides all the stain of your sins. Christian, do you pray? Understanding that's where you stand before God? That you are counted as righteous in Christ and the confidence that then gives you to come to him? If it depended on how good we are, how religious we are, how well we keep the commandments, none of us are good enough. God shouldn't give any of our prayers the time of day. But it doesn't. It depends on this gift of righteousness, of the Son. And so we, because he's there in heaven, always representing us, we can come with such confidence to God, who's reconciled to us. So you see, we should pray not only with compassion but with confidence, with such trust in God. And one final thought on that is, you can be so confident because you can trust in the Lord's plans and purposes. Now, the Lord tells us he prayed out loud for the benefit of those around him so that they could know he is God the Savior. He says, I know you always hear me, but I'm making a point of doing this before the others so that they'll all see I'm the one come from God. And throughout this passage, that's what the scripture emphasizes. And the Lord tells us several times that this was his purpose. This was his plan. It was to reveal his glory. And specifically the glory of the Son, that he's the Savior. That's made throughout this chapter. If you go back to the very beginning of the chapter, you might wonder, why doesn't the Lord heal Lazarus before he's died? You know, he heals so many people. Why not Lazarus? And then look at verse 6, which seems hard to understand. The Lord hears that he's seriously ill, and he delays another 2 days before he starts going towards Bethany. So that by the time he gets there, it's 4 days Lazarus has been dead. And the scripture is telling you to ask, why? Why did he deliberately delay? Well, he tells you in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death. It's not going to end in death. That's not the end of this story. That's not the purpose. It's going to be for the glory of God, that the Son of God would be glorified. God had a plan and a purpose, that through this suffering, he'd reveal the greatness of the Son. You can, I think, go as far as to say, he permits Lazarus to die, grievous though it is, because there is this greater purpose of revealing he's the life-giving Savior. He's able not just to heal, but to resurrect. A Savior who can raise from the dead is even greater than one who can heal. And he says the same thing in verse 15. It was so the disciples would believe. So they'd learn, they could trust him, that nothing was too hard for him. Not even death can stop him. And that's what he's praying in verse 42. So that the people would believe it and know it. That there was this plan and purpose. And again, that's teaching us something really important when we pray. And especially when we're suffering. Especially when we're grieving. That we must trust in God's plans and purposes. And that the greatest thing to seek is his glory. And there might be, perhaps for a time we're called to suffer and to grieve. And it might seem inexplicable to us. It might seem contrary to us, to God's love. Why is this happening to me? Why hasn't God answered these cries for help yet? Why do things seem to be getting worse? And the Lord again demonstrates to us that we must trust the Lord has a plan. And he's going to reveal his glory. Often the more desperate things become, the greater his deliverance is going to be. And the same way when we're praying and crying out, we must trust to the Lord's timing and his methods and his plans and submit to them. And above all, brothers and sisters, pray that he is glorified. That's the greatest thing you can pray when you're suffering and grieving, is that God would be known. That God would be glorified and praised as he deserves. We should pray for help, pray for comfort, pray for the Lord to deliver us from evils, pray for strength, pray for patience. But more than anything, we've got to align ourselves with his ultimate purposes and see that even in our suffering, there's a wonderful God-ordained purpose. And that we're part of something so much bigger, so much more wonderful. Glorifying him. And that his glory can be seen even through us. And so seek that in prayer. Isn't that what the Lord's praying for? What does he ask for? Even greater than Lazarus being raised, that God's glory be known. May we have that greatness of heart to pray the same way. God's glory be seen. So brothers and sisters, isn't it a comfort? We have such a Saviour with such a heart. And may he help us to May the Spirit help us to pray with tears in our eyes and hope in our hearts. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how gracious you are to us in your Son. And we thank you that he has truly entered into everything, all the suffering, all the worst things that this world can throw against us. And we thank you that he set us the most wonderful example of how to pray in those situations. And we are sorry, Father, that we do find prayer so hard. We find it hard to sincerely pray from the heart. We often don't know what to say. But we thank you that we can learn from our Saviour, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit's promised help. Please, Lord, teach us to pray. And please move our hearts that we pray with compassion, but also pray with true gospel-inspired faith. And Lord, even in our deepest sufferings and losses and crosses, we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live for your purposes, for something greater than ourselves, and to make you known. In Jesus' name, amen.